the 365th day of the year, and I get to be with you. Wow. Let me just tell you the difference between an optimist and a pessimist. An optimist stays up until midnight to see the new year in. A pessimist stays up to make sure the old year leaves. Someone said, I love when they drop the ball in Times Square. It's a nice reminder of what I did all year. I know. No one here. That person and perhaps all of us need to be refreshed in our thinking and reminded scripturally of the importance and the instruction for correct thinking about the past and the future. And I absolutely believe that affects the present. How you think about your past and how you think about the future impacts the present. I like, as I mentioned earlier, the best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time. Just try to get yourself out there. Jesus talked all about that. You know, don't worry about what you eat, what you'll drink, and all those things, right? Because each day has enough trouble of its own. And so when you are overly worried about the future, then you're wasting today. Do you ever think about that? I like the way somebody says, I'm not renting space to that one. Renting space is often giving your mind, and I'm not saying that this will come easily for us, but this is how I want to spend my 365th day of 2017 as we move forward. You know, God has a way throughout all of the scripture. He has a way throughout all of the scripture of reminding us how to think. Do you realize that's probably the number one issue that human beings face today is learning to think correctly? You have no idea the power, maybe you do. Your brain is a very powerful machine that God placed on your head, on your top of your body. That dictates so much of how you take scriptural truth and bring that into its proper light, into your life. And way back in the beginning, God taught Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. There are times, even in the lives of the greats, they had no clue. They just knew that God was faithful. I will make you, Abram, a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Through the prophet Isaiah, he points to Israel's promised future. God is the master forecaster. He knows the future. And he allows prophecies to be made about the future that impacts you and I right now in the present. Through the prophet Isaiah, he points to Israel's promised future by reminding them of what he did for them when he brought them out of Egypt. It is so vitally important that we don't become forgetful about what God is doing and what he is able to do. Remember what he said through Isaiah? Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and a rivers in the desert. God is faithful to Israel. Israel may not remember that, but God is faithful to Israel. And through the prophet Jeremiah came this promise, and many of us have loved to claim this one. So some translations say the plans, for I know the plans. This is to Israel, for I know the plans. The scripture, New King James says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God's desire is that Israel would put their trust in their Messiah. Jews today can still say, Jesus, you are my Messiah, I trust you. That Jew is placed now into the church. But God still has a program preserved and will accomplish for Israel. Before Jesus left, he left these words concerning the future. He says, let not your heart be troubled. To his disciples, he's saying this. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We have the promise of God because of God's truthfulness, his reliability, his proven character over and over again. And we see that most clearly in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. We just came out of Christmas and we think about this little precious infant Jesus, God in flesh. That life came for you, as we've been talking about. He came so that you would have life and have it abundantly. And so God wants us to take him at his word, to know the promises that belong to us, not just for this very moment, but as we think clearly about the future, God will use that to affect our present. I've called this resolving to move forward. That's really what we have to do. You and I have to resolve to move forward in spite of whatever else is not working in our lives at this moment. Things that just go wrong. You lock your keys in your car. You do something crazy. You just have a moment and you just don't like it. But yet see God in your circumstance. See God in everything that God is wanting to work in and through you. The scripture is all about giving you and I hope. It's all about that you and I would never lose sight of the hope that we have. The scripture says in Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You take a believer and you start to kind of rob that believer of their hope because of whatever, some besetting sin or some trouble or some brokenness or some tragedy or somehow. We have to always remember that God's desire is that we would have the hope that he offers. Not just man-made attempts, not just man-made encouragement, but hope that's backed by the word of God. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. God wants you to know about the future, that he's already there, and that he's preparing something wonderful for us. When I look back over 2017, there's so many days, and I've referenced a lot of this over this last few weeks about watching God's faithfulness. When we got to our annual meeting back in early December, I was just making a list of all the things that I thought were worthy of praising God for, worthy of giving him gratitude and thanks for what he's done. Do you realize that every breath you get to breathe and every day that you get to live is another gift that God has given to you? And he wants you to use that time wisely. Because as we participate with God in this opportunity to build his church, we are laying up treasures in heaven. We are thinking about our future. We're thinking about what's next and how would God want to use. And we recognize that, you know, we're a work in progress. Do you feel like you're a work in progress? Do you look in that mirror? You just need to say, I am a work in progress, right? God is working in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. You know, I remember a few years ago, I wanted to give my wife a Christmas present, and I don't even remember if it was that she wanted it more or I wanted it more. We thought this was going to be a great family present, but I bought the family a ping pong table. Anybody have a ping pong table? Okay, I had to go up to Kmart in Brockton, then drive home with the window open, right? Like 45, 50 miles, bring it back to Sagamore Beach, and it was cold. It was right before Christmas. You know, it's like, I got the ping pong table. Yeah. I could barely wrap it. It was so big. I mean, it's like one of those things that takes up so much paper. And I'm the type of guy that I'll just put enough to cover it. But if you move it in the wrong way, you'll see that it says ping pong table on the bottom because I, you know, don't want to use all that paper. But you know, it's one thing about owning the ping pong table. It's another thing about setting up the ping pong table. Just tear open that box. Not only do you see the four, you know, the four portions that are going to become the table, you see about 900 pieces of hardware. All right? And so, but the only way that you actually can set that up is to have the template. And that's what a good, good set of instructions will provide you. You want the template. I mean, come on. I mean, did you guys, I got to tell you, I'll be totally honest here. How many times I've tried to set something up? I remember when we got a trampoline for the kids and we didn't follow the instructions and the few of us that were trying to set it up. By the time we were done, it was standing this feet. I'm like, how is Aaron going to get up there? This is This is like the worst trampoline you could ever buy. Well, no, there wasn't the problem with the trampoline. It was the problem with the people who chose to set it up because they didn't read the instructions. So now we have it double its height, and it shouldn't be double its height. So instructions are important. And if you ignore the instructions, then you may come up with an odd-looking trampoline. You and your Christian life may have an odd, out-of-balance Christian life. And that's the real secret to the Christian life is balance. It's being balanced. It's being clear about things that you can be a gazillion percent clear on, and some things that, you know, you might be a little fuzzy on, you make sure that you understand those in their right perspective. Some people they read one scripture in the Bible and they're like, see, you know, I probably lost my salvation. You always got to check scripture with scripture. Scripture should be an ongoing building up of your life in your most holy faith. I like turnkey operations. You know, like the other day, I had to go buy something, and I said, "I'll take the demo. I'll just take the demo." The demo is actually in beautiful shape, and it keeps me from needing to assemble it. Because I got another one, and I had to go home and assemble that. We had to assemble that one, and so. But turnkey operations, that if somebody, say, offered you a Chick-fil-A. I'm telling you, they are going to. That is a turnkey operation. If you got into a Chick-fil-A franchise, you are getting into something that is ready to go. If you said, okay, I want, there is just a way that Chick-fil-A does business. That's how they do it. That's how they train their employees from the top down. I mean, corporate America can get this. Thankfully, Chick-fil-A has some, you know, biblically centered people who are trying to run this thing from the top down and making it a good experience. So, you know, you're supposed to, what, eat more chicken according to the cow, right? Have you guys seen that? But see, we all like turnkey. We all like things that just kind of work. We like getting into the new car. Now, I mean, you don't even turn the key anymore. You press the button. How many people have a car that you just press the button, right? This is the day that you press the button. Like, who needs a key, right? Well, turnkey simply means it's the provision of a complete product or service that is ready for immediate use. And do you realize the salvation that we have been given is ready for immediate use? But it's layered with complexities that need to be understood and to grow so that you would move forward. The number one thing that's holding you back and me back in this life is our old flesh nature. It is uncooperative. You also have an enemy who is Satan, who hates us as believers, hates the church. He stands against Jesus Christ. And so you and I really need to look at what would it take for us to move forward in 2018, not just as a church, but in our personal lives, to really think through. Regardless, think of it this way. The Apostle Paul, prison, problems, pressures. Jesus is instructing us through Paul, throughout the entire book of Philippians, how and why we can rejoice in the Lord always. Do you realize that Paul is imprisonment as he's writing, there's four prison epistles, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, and I believe in Ephesians. These are prison epistles. The apostle is under house arrest. He begins this letter with gratitude to the Philippians, but he also leaves opportunity to respond to a number of things that are a threat to their progress. Now, I want to talk about what is a threat to our progress. I gave you a bulletin, or on the back is a brief outline. I'd like to just touch on these for a few moments, but I'd like to read the scripture. It's going to be up on the screen. I love my wife because she said, Dave, you said to the church a couple weeks ago to read the book of Romans. She said, I have a good pastor who told me to read the book of Romans, and I'm going to encourage you for the new year, start reading the book of Philippians. It really is a book that will show you, in every circumstance, Paul shows you that Christ is sufficient. But see, your faith needs to be developed in order for you to actually move forward into maturity. And that's what I believe Paul outlines here for us in this few verses. Let me read the scripture, and I'd like to comment just briefly about chapter 3 and then go into just some of these points this morning. Paul says this, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by that same rule. Let us be of the same mind. That's what the apostle wants us to see today. Consider any epistle that you're reading as the continuation of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is always the priority of Scripture. God uses human agents, but He expresses His thoughts that He wants you to know. And He takes circumstances that these our beloved apostles were in, and He uses them to teach and to instruct. I want you to see here three things. Number one, maturing is a mindset. It is not by accident. You will not become mature unless you purposefully engage in becoming mature. Forgetting is a mindset. And number one, doctrinal unity is a mindset. And as you think about these things in light of this portion of Scripture, I really believe it sets a great platform and precedent for the new year as we go forward as a church. We really want to have doctrinal unity in this church, so that whether it's Dennis or myself or somebody else who gets to speak up here, our message is 100% consistent. We're all working in the same direction. We're all pulling in the same direction. Paul would talk about, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't expect an unbeliever to value what you value. You have to be wise in this world as you are working even with unbelievers. The church has sometimes got the pressure of trying to get along with everybody. But Paul really says, I fought the good fight. I mean, so you have to recognize that there is a fight to be fought, especially as it involves your ultimate freedom and salvation from sin and God preserving you in this day to live for Him. Amen? Amen. God wants you to progress on His terms. This is not just about rules, but it's about guidance. It's about coordinates. It's about things that work. As I've used the illustration before, if you were driving up Mount Washington, right, and you are so focused on that road. One woman said that she just like didn't enjoy any of the ride because as she's coming down, she's fearful that the vehicle is going to go off the road. And so, you know, we sometimes think, well, it really doesn't matter what I believe as a Christian. It absolutely does matter. Number one, mainly for your own progress and stability. If you can develop the mindset of the apostle here, you will be a stable person. Paul talks about this attaining. This is all about maturity. We are perfect in Jesus Christ. And as we talk about that turnkey operation, that in the moment that you trust Christ, you have completeness in Christ. Your sins are washed away. Your life is different. You may not always feel different, but from God's viewpoint, the moment you trusted Christ, you're trusting that all your sin was paid for in full at that cross. Even if you still presently struggle with sin, you've got to remember, reckon that you are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what the Bible says. It happened the moment you trusted Christ. Now, we as a people need to come up into maturity and say, okay, how do I live in a way that I'm cooperating with the Spirit of God in my life? Paul says that if a man doesn't have the Spirit of God, he doesn't belong to Christ. So if you want to belong to Christ, and you should want to belong to Christ Jesus, and I know many of you are here because you want to belong to Him. Who better to belong to than to Jesus? Who better to be in than in Jesus? Jesus is all perfection. He's everything. He's perfect holiness. He is everything that you and I would ever want, ever need. And He's everything. And the moment we trust Him, we're placed into Him. That process of maturity is going to take the rest of your Christian life. And Paul from prison is instructing these Philippians of what to do and how to advance and how to move forward. And he says it here, maturing is a mindset. It's what I see in Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already attained it or am already perfected. In other words, I am maturing. Yes, God used the apostle to declare Holy Scripture. Paul defines the church. He defines so many aspects of how the church is working, what this organism is, how it gets expressed locally, and how God views the church. And yet, but Paul says, but I press on. This is a mindset of pressing on. In the new year, you need to think about, how do I press on intelligently in the Word of God? Because so many times I, in my own life, have found that I can use an excuse not wanting to move forward for whatever reason. I don't feel good at that. I'm not very good at that. And I'm not saying that we should always just look to get out of our comfort zone, but sometimes, people, we need to get out of our comfort zone for the glory of God and let God use us in a way. You can pray for me this week. I'm really asking God for a meeting that I need to have with a person who needs Jesus. And I am going to that person before I leave on vacation with an urgency to tell them, you need the Lord. You don't know what a day will bring forth. And this person just had an experience in this last week that really showed no one saw this one coming. And I feel this urgency now more than ever to get to this person this week. Because I want to be, I don't want to let things get wasted. And people can go out in eternity without Jesus and spend their eternity in hell because they missed the grace of God. The apostle says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. You want to know what God wants? He wants everybody knowing him. And that should be our ambition, our theme for 2018. I want people to know Jesus. Paul would say in this particular chapter, I want to know him. He's not saying I don't know him, but I want to know him better. I want to know him more intimately. I want to share in his sufferings. I want to be connected with Jesus in a way that brings his life into my life so that when people see my life, they see that God is at work and it's God who is being magnified. And that's one of the hardest things. And Paul would say, if in this chapter, he says, if anyone has the right to boast, if anyone wants to brag about what he's done, wouldn't you just simply look at my pedigree as a Jewish person, a person who was Jewish from ground zero, born of the right tribe? If you look at this chapter, and I encourage you, read through the book of Philippians as you head into 2018. Read it this week. It's four chapters. And you will see this Apostle Paul's just heart and his thinking is clear. But if anyone had the right to boast, it would have been this apostle. And he even puts himself as the one who had zeal even to persecuting the very church of God. Dedication, core dedication. Many people think that, oh, Paul's just a great dedicated Christian. No, he's God's servant by Jesus Christ selected to distribute truth that you and I need to hear and know how to think. Maturing is a mindset. He says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Has Christ Jesus laid hold of you? Do you know that he's laid hold of you? The moment in that you came to that place in your life, Lord, I am broken. I'm a mess. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I want to do it through you. That's, I believe, the beginning of Christ Jesus laying hold of us. And he loves us. And he's for us. That's the thing that you need to tell the world. World, God is for you if you come into Christ. If you resist the grace of God, he's not for you. And we should be comfortable with drawing that distinction. Doesn't mean that's why the church does exist, because we want people to know. We fight, in one sense, for the progress of the local church because we want people to know Jesus. And if they already know Jesus, they can know him better. Because he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the one that will never leave you, never forsake you. When everything else is blowing apart in your life, Jesus Christ will not forsake you. And he understands that more than anyone, right? He understands. Scripture says that he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He knows what we face. And you should not be shocked by your weakness. If you are still struggling, most of us have some area of our life that was like, all right. Still struggle with that, you know. It could be just worry. It's the worry syndrome. I worry about everything. I worry about my kids. I worry about the future. I worry, worry, worry. But deal with worry in the context of training your mind. Paul talked about taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Jesus Christ. Making it obedient to your salvation is being completed in one sense, right? You aren't really going to know your completeness until you see Jesus or until you're in heaven. You know, you will look back on your life and you're like, there will be a moment of reckoning with God, and that moment of reckoning is ultimately to judge us according to the works that we did through him or we chose not to do through him. Soul is saved for all eternity. But the life we live now in this body, that is rewardable by Jesus. Jesus says, I'm coming and my reward is with me. So we want to expect, that's why I believe Paul's an entrepreneur. I really do. He's an entrepreneur. He wants the best investment for the time that he has. At one point he says, the time of my departure is at hand. So the apostle had this sense of using his time wisely. That's what we want to do. We want to make sure we use our time wisely. You know how many people can use their phone, just their phone, their texting device, just to text an encouraging message of Scripture in the new year? Come up with an encouraging thought that reflects your love for Jesus and start texting people that thought. Show people that you want them to proceed, that you want to help them. Pick up the phone and make a phone call. Tell someone you love them. Tell someone you care about them. Tell them you want to get together with them. One of the challenges that I face as a pastor is that sometimes I don't often know, like, where am I going to get more time in my day? But this church could rise up and do more. You guys could rise up in the new year and be part of that intentional ministry of helping people realize who they are in Jesus Christ. The more we get grounded in the Word of God, the more we get confident in who we are as God's precious blood-purchased people, we become people who are not afraid to move forward and be a blessing. Make me a blessing, the old song says, right? Make me a blessing to someone today. Amen? Number two, forgetting is a mindset. Paul chose here to mention his history, and he says, whatever was to my credit, isn't that what he says? Whatever was to me, I consider it all rubbish. I consider it all to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, one thing. What's the one thing you can do this year? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It is right to think like Paul, especially when it comes to matters that are going to help you progress as a believer in Jesus Christ. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Not optional. He's not talking about just core dedication. He's talking about thinking correctly. How much of this life is taken up with energy that we give to not forgetting the past? And I am also one who likes to celebrate what God has done in the past in our church and those things, but I don't want to base even our future for what we want to do in 2018, that, you know, we had all the success in 2017, we had all these wonderful blessings. Let's just keep moving forward. Can we just agree that the strategy for the believer in the local church is to continue to move forward? Thank God for what he's done, but let's keep moving forward. Oh, we were so blessed in those days. Well, you know what? You're saying that God doesn't want to bless you again? That God doesn't want to provide something new? He doesn't want to do new ministry through you? We need to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And Paul was a persecutor of the church. You think about people, a person who could have perhaps, and there are Bible scholars who might try to point some things out about Paul that maybe he was struggling with how he persecuted the church. I believe that Paul was freed from that, and I think he knew it was wise not to keep looking back. And so often we can remember a moment of bad judgment or something that is in our life that we should have, could have, would have. But would you let the Lord remind you that he's paid for that? Do you know you need to know that? I need to remember that. That sin's been paid for. Don't keep beating yourself up over it. Even if something isn't still right in your life, would you ask God to help you forget what lies behind? Lord, I want to move to what lies ahead. Your future's glorious with Jesus. It is so wonderful. Some of it can get experienced right now in this day. And I believe the more we capitalize on opportunities to serve the Lord, the more 2018, I'm asking Dennis, I will not be able to be here on Wednesday night. So this is how your pastor works. He obligates people from the pulpit. So we're going to have a prayer meeting on Wednesday night here. And if you could join us, maybe this is the way you want to kick into your 2018. Be a part of a praying church. I think the Lord answered many prayers throughout 2017 because he saw our church wanting to be more prayerful. And we have had many blessings. I've had people say to me, how faithful is the Lord to them this year? And that's not to guilt, but that's to encourage you. That is to say, get over here on Wednesday nights if you can. Men, if you're not attending the Bible study Wednesday morning and you can be there, get there. Get there to fortify yourself in your most holy faith. Forgetting is a mindset. Paul says it this way, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That's in Colossians 3. These companion epistles are wonderful. You will often find within the writings of Paul very similar trains of thought that come back, reinforcing what perhaps you find, say, in the book of Philippians. You'll find it reinforced in Romans. You'll find it reinforced in Ephesians. It's because there's so much to know. Christianity, biblical Christianity, is layered. And your growth is at stake if you choose not to get involved in, number one, with your mind. Your mind is a gift from God. God wants you to use it in a way that would help you mature and move along. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, it could be wrongly divided. I'm so thankful for people who are bringing their Bibles and want to study and grow together. Do you feel the encouragement? Okay. I really do. That's my hope. And I love what Paul says here in these final two verses. And I believe I saw here in studying that doctrinal unity is a mindset. There's a big push today in the church that we all should just get along. I think we should all get along in terms of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And you can have fellowship on that. But there are times where there are going to be other things that are going to be taught in churches that are going to stunt your growth if you're not careful. And you want the full expression of the grace of God operating in and through your life all the time through the clarity of the Bible, so that God is leading you and teaching you further truth, so that you would get it. So we're not just, we can be unified in the sense of salvation in Jesus Christ. There are times where there are going to be other things that you don't want to be unified with other believers, because it's going to be a stunting to your own progress. And that, as a pastor, I have to be very careful with forming alliances and wanting to make sure that, you know, just because they're in a building and I'm in a building and we're both pastors, that all of a sudden we should just be intimate, close friends. If things that I sense are going to stunt spiritual progress, I'm not going there. I will do my utmost to make sure that the gospel is proclaimed at every one of our services, no matter what we do as a church, and that we provide a full expression of the grace of God through the Spirit of God operating the lives of every person who comes in this building. I want every person who ever comes into this building to know that I am saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone, and that if I want to grow and become all that he wants me to be, then this is the place that I could do that. This is the environment that I could do it. And amen. Praise God. And so we want to just be wise in our doctrine. See, look what Paul says here. Therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind, right? We want to think together on these things. And if anything you think otherwise, God's going to reveal that to you. In other words, this isn't changing. This is correct, and God can reveal that to you. He will reveal that to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. In other words, we're going to conduct ourselves with these things in mind. And let us be of the same mind. Agreeing, can two walk together unless they are agreed? The scripture says they can't, right? We want to agree together on things that ultimately have our progress at stake. I believe that God wants to bless this church because we are committed to truly wanting people to be freed in Jesus Christ and to know that freedom like never before. 2018 should be the year of freedom. You look at the opiate addiction, you look at the problems, you look at dysfunctional families and all the things that can contribute to that. People need to be free in Jesus Christ to ultimately experience all that God wants them to be. I look at my own family sometimes like, by the grace of God, if you only knew the things that I experienced as a teenager growing up, parental arguments, fighting, things like that, things that broke my heart, even as a young child. There's many reasons that if I had not stepped into Christ, I would not be in this pulpit today. God is the one who saved me. God is the one who is faithful. God honors his word. My children love Christ. They're going to continue, I believe they're going to continue to love the Lord because they've experienced the grace of God. Get in on it, people. This grace is so wonderful. And God has a way of taking care of us even in our messiness. And so we just want to never forget that he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful to his word, and he will make good on every one of his promises. Jude puts it this way. You want to keep moving forward? You, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. 2018, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Are you looking for the rapture? Are you expecting Jesus to come? There's no event hinged on the rapture. It could happen today. Jesus could complete his church. One person in this room could say, Jesus, I take you as my Savior. And Lord, that could complete the church. The church is out of here. When we see him, we will be like him. This is the hope. Every part of our life that we still feel like, oh, I wish my life was so much better. Well, you're going to get the best life ever in heaven. You are going to be with Christ forever and ever and ever. Paul says, I fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want to think like that. I want to think like that when we are in deep water. I want to think like that. When it's going great, I want to think like that. And it's a paced life. It's a balanced life. It's taking all this counsel of Scripture, asking God to show you more. There's more for God to show you in 2018. Are you ready for it? Yes. Amen. All right. Praise God. We're not going to sing it, but I want to quote it because it goes with the message. It's one of the old hymns. I am resolved. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, will walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.